Welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast, coming to you from the headquarters of the National Federation of the Blind in Baltimore.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast. My name is Danielle Trevino in the studio with...
Neil Lewis. Hello. Sound a little sniffly. I sound like Rudolph, so I'm getting ready for the Christmas season. My nose is so stopped up.
You're a little bit early.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll get it out of the way.
That's true. That's true. It's the fall. It's the fall weather.
No, it's these allergies. I didn't have allergies before I moved to Baltimore. It's kind of surprising, too, because Atlanta is like the pollen capital of the world.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I went to college in East Texas and I was fine. And then I get to Baltimore and I get like sniffly and coughing and yeah, it's Baltimore.
Yeah. I don't mind when the allergy, you know, makes my voice go low. So I have that barrier. Well, I just hate sounding like Rudolph, you know. She thinks I'm cute. I hate that.
You sound more Barry than Rudolph.
Thank you.
So, Neil, it's October.
Hoo-hoo. Meet the Blind Month.
Meet the Blind Month.
Have you met any blind people?
You know, I have.
Yeah?
I have a few.
New, interesting blind people in your life?
Yes.
Okay.
Always. I visited our Alaska affiliate last weekend.
Awesome. Alaska. Sounds interesting. I've been there once.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were listening to the show when we walked into the meet and greet.
Look at that. The Nation's Blind worldwide, even in Alaska.
But Alaska's a state.
You're right about that. Right. Yeah, and they can see Russia from their house.
They can see Russia from their house. So, Meet the Blind Month.
Yes.
What is Meet the Blind Month, Anil?
Well, it's a public awareness campaign that's led by the oldest, largest organization of blind people, the National Federation of the Blind. We recognize that in order to diminish those misconceptions around blindness, the best way to do it is to meet a successful, independent blind person. So we encourage members of our 52 affiliates. See how I did that?
I like it.
All 50 states plus the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico. To go out and have fun in the community. So every one of our members are out there either engaging at a local mall somewhere, maybe doing presentations at their civic clubs or churches, just getting out there in that space to make sure that people get to shake hands with an authentic, real blind person.
Do you remember your first Meet the Blind Month event?
Oh, man, you're testing the old man's news. Yeah, my first one, I was still president of the NFB of Georgia at the time, and we set up a little tabletop right in the mall. And what we would do is we just put some brochures on the table, and we had a little alphabet card contest. So we put some Braille dots on a poster board and invited people to come by and decipher the Braille code. And then they'd enter their names into a drawing to win. So we did a lot of walking up and down the mall, pulling people over to the table, having them learn a little bit about blind people.
So my first Meet the Blind Month event was actually in Milwaukee. And what we did was I don't remember if we rented or if they let us borrow, but it was a room in an elementary school. Mm-hmm. And we set up kind of like a little resource fair. And it was just like, how do blind people read? How do blind people travel? I had a guide dog at the time, so we set up an obstacle course and we kind of navigated through that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was really neat. And there were a lot of scout troops actually that came to the event, so it was pretty neat.
Yeah, I love when the kids are around. If the adults could be as uninhibited as children, you know, with respect to asking those questions that they want to know the answers to, it'd be so much easier.
I agree. Well, even when we were there and one of the parents told their child, it's okay, go pet the dog. And the kid was like, Mom, that's a guide dog. You don't pet them.
Oh, look at that.
That's pretty cool.
The dog is working.
The dog is working.
Hope that kid didn't get in trouble telling his mom what to do.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure there was a talking to later. So Meet the Blind Month, it's happening. And you know, the thing with Meet the Blind Month is we do highlight it in October, but that doesn't mean that you go out and about in the community just this one month of the year and the rest of the time you just kind of keep to yourself. It's not just in October.
Exactly. It's nice to have that concentrated time and attention toward it, but we are encouraging our members to continue to do it throughout the year.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure we'll hear more about the Meet the Blind Month in the Presidential Privilege. Chris Danielson's actually going to bring us Presidential Privilege this time.
Well, there you go. He's the lucky man. He drew either the lucky straw or the short straw.
Lucky straw.
I enjoy doing it. It is the lucky straw. Yeah. It's nice that Meet the Blind Month is happening like at the beginning of this whole season of Thanksgiving as well. So I'm looking forward to, you know, these upcoming months to be reflective over the current year and really, you know, give some real appreciation to those people in my life that have made a difference and the things that have happened to me over this past year that, you know, make me very grateful that I'm a member of the National Federation of the Blind.
Same here. It's definitely the season to reflect on that and to be thankful for the people in our lives, the people, places, and things in our lives that have made us better.
Yeah. So I want all of our listeners to get out there and meet the blind. And I also want you to start preparing yourself and maybe call in and let us know what you're thankful for in this coming season of Thanksgiving. But until then, let's take a moment for the presidential privilege.
Sounds good. You are listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. We will be right back.
Hey, I'm Scott Labar, president of the NFB of Colorado, and you are listening to the NFB's Nation Blind Podcast.
Get on the fence. Sign up today. We need your contributions right away. Pointing our movement. It must be done. So all our battles can be won.
Welcome back to the Nation's Blind Podcast. I am Chris Danielson, and for the first time in our podcasting history, I have the privilege of sitting down with President Mark Riccobono for the presidential privilege. How are you this afternoon, President Riccobono?
I'm very privileged to be here. Thank you.
You're too kind, sir. So, it's Meet the Blind Month.
Yes, it is.
So, let's talk a little bit about this. I mean, let's talk about how Meet the Blind Month came to be and what its significance is in the National Federation of the Blind.
Well, Meet the Blind Month is really meant to be a concentrated time for our chapters to be out in the community, really trying to get our message in front of members of the general public and trying to be out there in new and dynamic ways. Not that we're not doing things in the community the other 11 months of the year, but Meet the Blind Month is supposed to be a very intense, creative, dedicated time to do that. Meet the Blind Month goes back to the beginning of this century, actually, now 15 years ago. I think the first Meet the Blind Month was 2001, and it was really that, intended to be a time when we would find new and dynamic ways at the very grassroots level to get out in the community doing interesting things, not just handing out brochures from behind a table, but getting out and doing community service projects, going and doing skating or running events or all sorts of creative things that our affiliates, our chapters have thought up over the last decade. And it really helps to get us known better in the community and helps, of course, then get people to know real blind people. And that's really what we have found is the best way to overcome stereotypes is not reading it in a book or putting on a blindfold, but sitting down with a blind person, doing some activity with a blind person, and not just one blind person, but many blind people.
Right. I mean, that really is the point. It's for the public to meet the blind, for the blind to meet each other, but really for the blind to interact with the public and really work to dispel those misconceptions that exist in the public about blindness. Isn't that how you would characterize it?
Yeah, and it's a good reminder for us as well. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we're pursuing in the National Federation of the Blind, a lot of advocacy work at the local, state, and national level. Meet the Blind Month is one of those reminders that if all we do is sit in our own meetings and talk about our own stuff and we forget that the biggest barrier we face as blind people are the public misconceptions about blindness, then we'll miss the opportunity to really move forward our mission in a new and dynamic way. And I think Meet the Blind Month has been the spark for chapters to dive into all sorts of interesting, creative things. We've tried some of those creative things right here in the Baltimore chapter. Sometimes they work, sometimes we don't. I remember when I first came to Baltimore, one of the first Meet the Blind Month activities here in Baltimore. We had this festival in the park.
Ah, yes, I remember this.
Yeah, we, you know, and it was a nice turnout. Be interesting to try it now. Actually, the local Riverside neighborhood actually has its own events now. So maybe we actually were the spark, blind people, we were the spark for the local neighborhood getting out and doing more. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. And there's all kinds of things you can do. I mean, I don't want to get us in trouble, but the Greater Baltimore chapter is actually going to try a little wine tasting this Saturday.
Well, you have to do a lot of tasting to get into trouble.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It is a tasting. We're not trying to.
Yeah, I'm going to miss that. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I hate that. I hate that for you. But I'm really looking forward to that. And we're also going to participate in the farmers market here in Baltimore on Saturday. So that's
excellent.
A great idea.
So pick out some good wines for me to try later.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll keep a list. Oh, and also, you know, this is such a good opportunity for people who don't know us and who may be dealing with blindness or vision loss to come to know the Federation. And that's really important, too. I know you've often said that you regret that you didn't come to know the Federation sooner, and I wonder about that. Why was the Federation so significant? Why would it have benefited you to find the Federation sooner?
Well, you know, it is easy as blind people to convince ourselves that we're doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was definitely in that place. I knew that had gotten the message that vision was very important. And since I had a little bit of vision and I faked having a lot more vision, and I was pretty good at faking it, I thought I'm doing pretty well. And, you know, by some measures, I was. I went to college. I was not a great success because I was studying all the time. I didn't have great social relationships because I was studying all the time. And even though I was studying all the time, I couldn't see things. It had no alternative techniques, so I was mostly on the brink of not quite failing out but doing very poorly. But I still thought, well, I'm still probably better off than those guys that can't see that much. Well, what I didn't realize until I met the National Federation of the Blind was that there was a whole lot more out there. And in fact, I was holding myself back by faking it, that I really, by finding the Federation, was able to liberate myself from this idea that vision was a requirement for success. And maybe most importantly, I'm really thankful that the Federation has provided me with a network of people who continue to nudge me forward a little bit more every day. I think I'm doing pretty well, but the Federation as a whole is a support network that says, yeah, but you know, you could challenge yourself over here to do something. And actually, kind of is blindness that brings us together, but it's not necessarily blindness that is the nudge to try new things, to go out and do a wine tasting. I mean, I can think of probably dozens of experiences that I have had because of the Federation and members of the Federation who have encouraged me to go out and do something, or members who are going out and doing something. I thought, huh, I never would have thought that that was something I could do or should do. Maybe I'll try it. So I wish that I would have met the Federation earlier, because I would have come to be plugged into this network that would be pushing me to do those things and allowing me the opportunities to get a hold of some of the information, knowledge, skills that I now have and continue to evolve. So it's not that I have a terrible life or anything. It's just that I recognize, as I think actually every Federationist I know who really sits down and thinks about it, meeting the Federation earlier would have been a benefit. And that's I'd love to get in front of parents of blind children. And the first thing I tell them is don't beat yourself up for what you didn't know. You're here now. And that means your kids can have all of this going forward. And it's still, I don't know, 10, 15 years earlier than I got to it.
Yep. You know, it's so fortunate. And you just have to go forward. But as we also come into the time of year when we're thinking about what we're thankful for, and we're thankful that our Federation family raises our expectations, and we're thankful that in matters related to blindness and not related to blindness, we have so much encouragement and a network of support to move forward in our lives and try new things. And I think it's really special that that's something that we can all be thankful for.
Absolutely. And that we know we can go out there and ask questions of our brothers and sisters in the Federation. It's not that all the ideas and things get brought to us, but we know there's a network out there that we can tap into. You know, when I first thought about buying a house, I knew blind people that dozens of them that owned houses that went through the process of buying houses, and what do you do with all the paperwork, and how do you deal with finding a realtor who understands that, no, you actually do want to live near a bus line and things like that. So the network that we gain access to, I'm really thankful that the Federation has taught me to believe in myself enough to tap into this organization of friends that we have. And I just hope that we can continue to find more blind people before they give up totally on themselves, because nothing is worse than coming across blind people who just believe that the people in the Federation are different than they are. And the truth is, it's not true at all.
No, of course it isn't.
It's just that we have been working on it long enough that we know that together we can transform dreams into reality. And doesn't mean we do everything perfect. Doesn't mean you walk down the street without knocking into something once in a while or knocking something over. I mean, that's part of life. Everybody does that. But we don't blame it on blindness, and we got to find people earlier so that they can start to internalize that as well.
Right, so they can understand that blindness is not what's defining their lives.
Absolutely. So what are you thankful for, Chris?
I'm thankful for all of that, and I'm thankful that you got lots of good house buying advice because you've shared it with me. And I'm going through this process now, so
we're keeping our fingers here crossed here that it works out.
Yeah, well, thank you so much.
Are you taking donations toward your offer?
Yeah, exactly.
Send
it in, folks.
Write it on the back of a $20 bill.
Yeah, exactly. Your house buying tip. Write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Chris. Anyway.
Look, you turned it into car talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Why did you do that, Chris?
You started it, President Riccobono. Anyway, this is great. As I said, I'm thankful for my Federation family, too. I'm thankful that I learned that I was not it on a stick as a blind person, and that I needed to raise my own expectations. And, you know, my own story that's similar to yours is, you know, when I started doing all this traveling abroad that I wanted to do, you know, reaching out to blind people and talking about, you know, can I really do this? Can I get everything taken care of in the way that I wanted to, and really, you know, fully participate and have a good experience traveling to different countries? And I was able to do that. So that's one thing I'm thankful for among the many things that my Federation family has given me.
Yeah, traveling abroad's a weird thing. I just got back from Geneva.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't speak French, some of the interactions are a little difficult. And, you know, I usually hate to be grabbed by people. But you do have to have a higher level of tolerance when you travel internationally, because you also don't know how much of a fuss you can put up without getting locked up somewhere.
Right.
And in some interactions, you kind of have to get steered because the communication is mostly nonverbal.
Right.
So it's interesting. Scott LaBarre and I decided to go down to a little mall to find some Swiss chocolate. And, you know, again, if you don't know French, you know, blindness wasn't the biggest barrier. It was English,
yeah,
actually. So, but it's really the confidence in the Federation that we've gotten from the Federation to let us know that blindness was not the thing that was going to hold us back from going out and getting some treats to take home.
Right.
And some things you just work out on the fly, and also, you know, that problem solving is a part of life.
Well, exactly. And you've got to also have the confidence to understand that, you know, when you're in a situation as a blind person where there is a communications difficulty and you may do things a little bit differently than you normally would, that's not that you're not being a good blind person,
right,
or not being independent. It's just dealing with the situation in a different way. I certainly had that experience at the airport in Munich, Germany, because I couldn't talk to anybody, and there was this guy, and he was very aggressive about getting me through the airport, but I kind of had to balance that with the understanding that I did need to get to my next plane, and I wasn't necessarily going to succeed just walking by myself and asking directions. It would depend on who.
Yeah.
So anyway, what we're thankful for, thank you, President Riccobono, for letting me share this moment with you, and I look forward to doing it again.
Well, thank you for this opportunity, and I'm thankful for all of the members of the Federation and our listeners on the podcast who are trying to decide if they want to be members of the Federation. I would invite you to do so, because I think you'll learn something from us, and most importantly, I think we'll learn something from you. So thank you, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast, and we will be right back.
This is John Perret, Executive Director for Advocacy and Policy at the National Federation of the Blind, and you're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
Welcome back to the Nation's Blind Podcast. My name is Danielle Trevino, in the studio with
Chris Danielson.
Hey, hey.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. I feel like all you gentlemen on the podcast have this low voice thing happening.
I think there's a ticklish throat cold thing that's been going around, so we're all sounding like, you know, Barry White and oh, who else has a really low voice? Well, anyway.
That guy.
That guy. That other guy with the low voice. You know who I'm talking about.
I do. Totally. That guy. So the presidential privilege was real good. The president did not have the bassy thing going. He sounds pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. He's hale and hearty, unlike some of us who are struggling a little bit. But we're still going to do the news.
Yes, we are. So, Chris, what's in the news right now? What's going on?
Well, you know, Danielle, we have an election coming up. I don't know if you've heard about this.
Say what?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. We have a presidential election coming up. And, you know, of course, there are all kinds of other elections down the ballot as well. So a lot of stuff will be happening on November 8th. And there's a few things that our listeners should know about that. One is that there's all kinds of election information on NFB Newsline. If you haven't checked it out, there's a whole special category for it. And you can find things like the party platforms and stuff from the candidates' websites and all kinds of election coverage. And, you know, depending on how your local agency has set up Newsline, you may have your local ballot and your local ballot issues. So really take some time to drill down into NFB Newsline for the election. So another thing is that there's an entity called, an organization called the Open Debate Coalition. And what the Open Debate Coalition does is it collects potential questions for the candidates to be asked at their debates. There have been two debates already, and there's one left. And one of the questions that was submitted to this open debate coalition was, how will you, meaning, you know, addressed to each of the candidates, mm-hmm. value disability rights in your presidency? And this was a question that the way their system works is that people vote on questions. People submit questions and then the questions are voted on and they submit the top 30 questions to the candidates. So it's great that a disability question even made it in there and was doing really well, was gaining a lot of momentum. But right. a lot of our guys had a little trouble with their website and with the Open Debate Coalition's website. And so it was hard to vote for the question because of some accessibility and usability issues. So we contacted the Open Debate Coalition about that, and they said, gosh, this is terrible. We're really embarrassed about this. We're kind of new, and we put this whole website together really quickly, and we should have done a better job of making sure it was accessible. But what we will do is we will go ahead and submit the question to the great. Candidates. Because it is an important question. It is picking up a lot of momentum. So we're just going to go ahead and throw it in there anyway. Now, it hasn't been asked yet in any of the debates, but hopefully it will be in the final debate that's coming up. So that's exciting.
It's very exciting. Be interested to hear what the candidates have to say about it.
Right, right. Maybe they'll be asked about subminimum wages.
Maybe
they'll be asked about that, too, because that is something that both parties have actually taken a position on. The two major parties. The third parties, to my knowledge, have not taken a position on it. And while we're on the subject of subminimum wages, there is a new film about subminimum wages. It's a great film. It has been made by an organization called Rooted in Rights, and they make documentary films and launch social media campaigns around disability issues. And they've made this film about the subminimum wage issue and about how workers with disabilities are being exploited and what the alternatives are to the antiquated and discriminatory practice of paying people with disabilities subminimum wages. And they interviewed President Rick Abono for this film, as well as some other NFB folks and folks from other disability groups. And President Rick Abono is actually pretty prominently featured in the film. And so this is a film that it's already had its world premiere in Washington, D.C., and we're actually going to screen it here at the NFB Jernigan Institute. And our affiliates also have the opportunity to host screenings of this film or to participate in the screenings that are already set up. And this can be done with no cost to the affiliate, at least. If there's any cost, it's not going to come from the Rooted in Rights folks. They want people to air this film, and they're making it available for free. There's no cost to anybody who wants to host a screening, at least on that side of it. So you can actually go to bottomdollarsmovie.com, and you can sign up to host a screening in your area. And you can also see a list of the screenings that are already happening. And if there's one in your area, then, you know, you can go, you can reach out to whoever is hosting it and say, hey, we'd like to participate maybe in a post-film discussion or do whatever we can to help the screening. So it's going to be a great opportunity. It's a really great film. I'm looking forward to everybody having the chance to see it.
Yeah, and if you are organizing a viewing of the film, we'd love to hear about it. So you can email us about it, or you can send us pictures and or comments on social media. So it's going to be a good thing. I'm excited to see the movie.
Yeah, it's really great. I had a chance to preview it, and it's really a powerful piece. And it's going to be a great awareness piece for this continuing campaign, which is actually gaining a lot of momentum to finally get the subminimum wage eliminated. So
hashtag Time Act.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, if you hurry, you may even be able to get your screening into Meet the Blind Month. But of course, Meet the Blind Month doesn't just have to be in October.
That's right. We were just saying that a little while ago, that the activity of meeting the blind can happen any day at any time.
Absolutely. It sure can. And what a great way to do it, to have folks meet the blind and become educated about one of our most important issues as well.
And we've gotten some feedback from some of our chapters and affiliates that are doing some pretty cool stuff. We've even seen some of it on the Google alerts for the NFB.
Yes, absolutely. Meet the Blind Month is making the news. I always say to chapters and affiliates, you know, you can actually get your events in the news, particularly in the local news.
Right.
And that has happened. We had some great articles. There's a new chapter of the National Federation of the Blind in New Bern, North Carolina. And that was covered extensively by one of the newspapers there. Their opening event and their opening meeting and Meet the Blind Month event. And so congratulations to them. There was also a very successful White Cane Day event in Muskogee, Oklahoma, at one of the malls there, and that was covered by the Muskogee Phoenix. And our folks out in Hawaii have even got some coverage for Meet the Blind Month things. So Meet the Blind Month is in the news, and your event can make the news too. Just take some time to learn about your local media and reach out, particularly if they have a community section or a community calendar or whatever, and you can publicize your event, and maybe you can get a story written about it, and that will educate the folks who can't make it to the event about blindness and blind people and how we live the lives we want.
There you go. And if people have questions about how to go about contacting the media or, you know, making those inroads, they can contact you?
That's correct. They can email me at cdanielsen, that's D-A-N-I-E-L-S-E-N, at nfb.org. Or if you didn't quite catch that, we also have an email communications team at nfb.org.
Busy, busy month.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Meet the Blind Month. It's so great, and the fall weather is so great, and Greater Baltimore Chapter's actually got a Meet the Blind Month event coming up this Saturday, too, actually. And so I'm really looking forward to those. And everybody get out there and enjoy Meet the Blind Month.
So doesn't Meet the Blind Month make you thankful, Chris, for being a part of such a big Federation family?
Absolutely. You know, I found the Federation when I was a young man, just getting ready to start college. And I'm so grateful that I found it, because I don't know that I would have achieved my full potential and had my expectations raised as a blind person if I had not. You know, I'm one of these guys that was born blind and had been doing pretty well. I was always the only blind kid in my public schools, so everybody thought everything I did was amazing. And I had to learn from other blind people, my Federation brothers and sisters, that I could actually achieve even more than I was, and that I could particularly be more independent than I was, and travel better than I was, and learn how to live on my own. And so getting involved with the Federation encouraged me to go to the Louisiana Center for the Blind and gave me so many other opportunities. And now I'm so proud to be able to be on this podcast and do other things to give back to the organization. So I'm very thankful around this time of year, and not only for the usual things that people are thankful for, like my immediate family, my people I'm actually blood related to, but for my extended Federation family all across the nation.
Well, I am certainly thankful that you're here. It's great working with you, because we're both part of the communications team. It's pretty neat working with you and kind of learning more about PR. I remember one of the first phone calls I ever made to you was like, Chris, I don't know what to do here. Can you help me? And you were like, yeah, it's going to be fine. So I'm definitely thankful for you.
Well, I am thankful for you, too. You have taught me a lot about the social media space and just how to use it more effectively, and I appreciate that. And we've got a great communications team. here at the National Federation of the Blind. And like I said, we have an email address. So I'm going to plug it again, communicationsteam@nfb.org. So affiliates who have questions, chapters who have questions about communications matters, please get in touch with us. And we'll be happy to help you out. And we're all learning and we're all building the National Federation of the Blind.
Well, thank you so much for that news update, Chris. We will talk to you in next month's episode.
All right. I look forward to it.
You are listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Nation's Blind Podcast. I'm doing something new for me. I actually am conducting an interview with one of our loyal, dedicated members. Miss Patty Chang has joined us. Patty, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good, good.
Glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I wish you were actually here because you know, I love being in your space. I have the opportunity, I guess, to talk to you about your new responsibilities. But before I do that, I really want to let our listeners get a chance to get to know who you are. I know you. We've known each other for so many years. I count you as like a sister. So what we've been talking about during this podcast has really been around Meet the Blind Month in October. We've also been mentioning some of the reasons that we're thankful for the National Federation of the Blind. So why don't you share a little bit about you as a blind person and your evolution to the role of leadership that you have within the organization?
Well, my story is kind of interesting. I actually came to the Federation initially because of a gentleman that many people know. His name was Jamal Mazrui.
Okay.
And he and I attended the Michigan Rehabilitation Center about the same time. And he was very adamant that I needed to get to know this organization. And to be honest with you, I went along initially because Jamal wanted me to go along.
Well, thank you, Jamal.
And I really didn't connect in a meaningful way, to be honest, until after I was awarded my scholarship. As I've said to people on the floor, I thought I'd take my money and I'd go and run away.
What year did you win?
That was...
What year did you win your scholarship? What year did you win your scholarship?
Oh, you were going to date me in some way, weren't
you? Yeah, exactly.
1985.
Oh, you were just a baby. You won your scholarship when you were 4 years old. That's outstanding.
Oh, you're so kind. It was actually just before I went into law school.
Excellent.
And my trip to the National Convention was an absolute life-changing experience.
Mm-hmm.
I know we talk about that in the Federation, but it really was. Walking in and seeing almost 3,000 blind people in the same place, it's just so empowering.
I agree.
The mentoring meant and still means a lot to me. So after that, I had been hooked, and basically, I don't know, the running away with the money is, I suppose, not worked real well. I'm still here how many years later. But I've just grown in my fellowship and friendships and mentoring. And now I hope to give some of it back. I mean, I stick with it at this point in part because I still get from the Federation, we all do. People push us. You push me, Neil. You push me on technologies. You
well,
know, Dr. Maurer pushes me on mobility, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that's valuable. But
that's,
I hope
that's what it's all about, right?
Now too.
It's all about us mutually supporting one another and encouraging each other to be better people.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because the public doesn't, you know, if you tie your shoes, you're doing well.
And amazing.
No real expectation there. But, gee, you could do more.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that scholarship experience is what got you. Of course, I won a scholarship later, too, and much like you, I've been paying it forward ever since. And it's interesting also that I didn't think about it, that was kind of the catalyst that brought us both in. We both served a period of time as a scholarship committee chairperson, and you're still the scholarship committee chairperson.
I am. And, you know, people helped me along the way, too. When I came to Chicago, it was really an important period for me because I was coming from basically a small-town environment. And my state president helped me. People in the chapter helped me with everything from mobility lessons to, frankly, money because I didn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
So that was when I came to understand that the Federation, at least for me, was truly going to be a family.
Right. And the benefit of that family is we do volunteer a lot of our time to make sure that the work of the Federation gets done. But we really wouldn't be able to have the impact that we have if we weren't actively and aggressively raising funds for the Federation. So in addition to your responsibility as scholarship chairperson, where we get to give funding to up-and-coming students, you're also raising money so that we can continue to fund programs like our scholarship program and our Braille readers or leaders programs and those types of interventions. You want to talk about your new responsibility?
I would love to. And there are so many things that we're doing. I just encountered an article that Chris Danielson wrote about the Letters to Santa program. You know, we don't really see that until December, but that's a big one. Bell is a big one. Mm-hmm. All the youth programs, the STEM programs. And we have to remember that we're also doing advocacy all the time. Those are all things that take money behind what we do. Mm-hmm. You can't, frankly, pursue a lawsuit against someone who's discriminating against a student or an employee. You know, Yasmin's lawsuit was important. We need to do that. We're pursuing several lawsuits right now. We just are in the process of settling one in Kansas, et cetera. Can't do any of that without money. We can't do most of what we do without money. So I wanted to, if I could, Anil, talk a little bit about how everybody can deal with fundraising, because obviously no one person can do it. So I'm going to try and motivate people to get past the uncomfortable, oh, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to ask. I don't want to ask.
Well, I'm ready. Motivate me.
Okay. Well, I think I can easily motivate you, Anil.
Okay.
I just gave a big gift to the National Federation of the Blind. And the National Federation of the Blind has given me so much, and I know that they've given you a lot.
Absolutely.
So don't you think that you should consider making a contribution?
Absolutely. See, I've already given that big gift before you even asked me to, so you're absolutely right.
I was sure you had. But when you think about what I just did, there's sort of three elements there. Number one, and it doesn't have to be a big gift, but you need to give what you can give first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if you can give a big gift, then you ought to give a big gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can never pay back the Federation what it's given me. I think that's true of most of our members.
It's true for
me.
And
once you've given a gift, then it's easy to make that ask. I'm asking you to do something that I just did.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why it's important. Here's what it's done for me on a personal level. Tell your story. Tell how the Federation paid for meals when you're in college. Because I'm telling you, Steve Pistalis, Steve Benson, Alan Harris all bought me meals when I was in college because I couldn't pay for meals around chapter meetings.
Wow.
You know, they knew it and they quietly did it. So I try and pay all that forward. So tell people that because that's my story. You tell your story. Then just ask them flat out. Don't be afraid to ask. Would you be willing to make a contribution? Would you be willing to donate? Go ahead and make that ask. And it really is just a three-step process.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's really interesting. I can't recall a time that I've asked someone to give to the Federation that they've said no. I mean, it may not be a huge amount of money, but they've given me, you know, a couple of dollars or something if I'm selling candy bars or bought raffle tickets or just made a donation.
Exactly. And, you know, people say, oh, I don't have much to give or it's not worth it because they can only do $2 or whatever. Every single penny, dollar, quarter, whatever you can give matters. And there's so many ways to give. I was just writing a blog entry and I was kind of thinking about this. You know, everybody has their own preferences. Some people like to use mail. Well, if you're going to mail in, then mail us a check, please. Make it out to National Federation of Blind. Mail it to 200 East Wells at Jernigan Place. Attention outreach, because that's how we get it to the right part of our national organization to process it. Baltimore, Maryland, we all know, 21230.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to give online, that's easier than ever. You can go to our main webpage and hit the Donate Now button.
Okay. That sounds simple enough. And our website is accessible. So isn't that awesome?
The website is fully accessible. And I just went through the donate process recently just to make sure that, you know, I like to check these things just to make sure that the receipt and everything that goes out behind it is accessible. And then you can sign up for Amazon Smile. Amazon Smile. If you go to smile.amazon.com, you can give that way. You pick us as your charity, and then every time you visit the smile.amazon.com site, it gives us a small percentage of your purchase.
That's cool.
Or you can donate clothes. You can do that through Green Door. Or you can give us an old vehicle, boat, motorcycle, etc. So if you're not sure how to go about this, you just pick your preference. There's lots of ways to accomplish giving a gift to the National Federation of Blind.
There you go. And that list of all those ways is on our website at nfb.org.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it will be in an upcoming blog as well that's coming out, I think, the first week in November.
Excellent. And I'm sure Danielle, our social media diva, will make sure that it's posted in all the appropriate places for people to recognize that that blog goes live.
And anybody can call me anytime, please. I'm at extension 2422. I'd love to talk money.
So that's 410-659-9314, extension?
2422.
2422. See, that's Patty reading my mind. She knew to plug it right in. So I'm really glad you're able to join us.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, next time we have to have you on, and you can tell us about how wonderful this effort paid off, because the Voice of the Nation's Blind, the Nation's Blind podcast, doesn't just reach our members. There are individuals out there who are getting to know blindness in a real way by participating. And we're hoping that they listen to the information that you gave, and they're online right now clicking that donate button.
That would be awesome.
All right. We've just heard from Patty Chang. She's responsible for raising money for the good work that the Federation does, and you're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. I just really love Patty. We go back so far. She's really been a good, strong supporter of me as I've evolved and grown within the Federation, and the work that she's doing on behalf of the organization is phenomenal. So I'm glad that she's part of the family.
She's a great, great lady. We were talking earlier this morning, and we're both from the Chicago area, so we were talking about like good old Midwestern culture. It was nice.
Good, good. I'm glad that I was able to point out, because I think a lot of people don't even recognize that, and in line with Meet the Blind Month, that this podcast is not just for blind people.
Absolutely.
We have a growing listener base. I've gotten a couple of phone calls and emails directly to me. Talking about the work that we're doing, people always seem to say that we have chemistry.
Chemistry?
So that could be one of two things. I mean, sometimes chemistry works really well, and sometimes chemistry explodes.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that we're going to explode.
Okay. I hope not. I think we're really making things work.
I think so.
And I hope you guys think so, too. We know for sure if you contact us every now and then, let us know what you think about the podcast.
Ed contacted us, our friend Ed. It was our first piece of email.
Oh, fan mail.
Fan mail.
We're celebrities.
We are.
Awesome.
Are we celebrities?
Yeah. We should get photos and sign them out.
We should.
Who's going to head our fan club?
Yeah, who's going to be president of our fan club?
All right, we're soliciting nominations.
Okay, so you can send your bid for fan club, head of the fan club. I think you get a button and a sash.
At least.
Yeah. To podcasts at nfb.org, or you can call us. What's our phone number?
410-659-9314. Our extension is 2444.
You can also find us on iTunes if you just search for the Nation's Blind Podcast. Check us out on social media, too, because as we were saying earlier, a lot of our affiliates and our chapters are super active, not just during Meet the Blind Month, but all the time. So we're at @NFB_voice on Twitter. And on Facebook, you can find us just by searching National Federation of the Blind. What is your Twitter handle, Anil?
It's Anil Life, A-N-I-L-L-I-F-E. And I love that because, you know, that's how you can meet the blind virtually. You got Hey Danielle 1.
Almost.
Right? That's you?
There's an underscore in there.
Oh, my goodness. You guys with your underscores. What
is your Twitter handle? Taken.
See, it's hard enough for old guy like me to even know what that @ is and the hashtag.
Shift 2.
You're killing me. Not on my iPhone. It's not shipped.
That's true.
Oh, my goodness.
So my Twitter handle is Hey_Danielle and the number 1.
Oh, Hey_Danielle and the number. Numeral.
The numeral, yes.
I got it. Okay.
Yes. And I tweet frequently about salmon in my purse.
Oh, excellent. We're not going there. So we saw. This has been an interesting podcast overall. The Presidential Privilege, I think, was very interesting. The interview with Patty, very interesting. Of course, talking to you, I always find interesting. And I'm hoping that our listeners also find this banter interesting, but we think it's important, especially during Meet the Blind Month, that you get an understanding that blind people have the capacity to live the lives we want.
We do.
And that's what the Federation is all about.
Absolutely.
Are we going out now?
We're going out now.
Okay, so we're going out of the podcast. We've given you our contact information. Feel free to call us. Thank you guys for listening. We enjoy this, and we hope you enjoy it as well. Remember, you can live the life you want.
Blindness is not what holds you back.
Thank you for listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or feedback, send an email to podcast@nfb.org or leave us a voicemail at 410-659-9314, extension 2444. Also, don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at @NFB_voice. Check out the Nation's Blind channel on YouTube. And visit us on the web at nfb.org. Until next time, remember, you can live the life you want. Blindness is not what holds you back.